Easter is the story of darkness. The King of Glory is now the Man of Sorrows. The Son of Righteousness is shrouded in blackness. Our tiny human candle of justice, kindness, and enlightenment has been snuffed out by the raging storm of our bitterness and anger. There he hangs, our self-giving creator, engulfed at noonday in the midnight of our sin. His searing pain, physical, emotional, and spiritual, is the awful fruit of our twisted self-centeredness. For each of us, the truth is this: the death that grips him now is the punishment of our sins.
Scripture reading for this morning comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and it reads this way. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word.
A sinner who fell down. But we get up, we fall down. But we get up, we fall down. But we get up, for a saint is just a sinner who fell down. But he didn't stay there and got up.
One more time, Janine.
We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we get up. We fall down, but we got up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up.
Yeah. Because the difference between Mary and Judas is that one fell down, yeah, and stayed right there. The other fell down and got back up. That's the point of the sermon today. Watch the hands. We're inching closer to the cross in this Lenten journey. With it comes the darkness of the disciples' dirty deeds, the painful awareness that even those closest to Jesus would distance themselves from him to save their skin, that Judas would throw away Christ's ministry for money. Headed to Calvary's Hill, there is no way around that. No easy way to say that. But this is Jesus' story, not ours. And we must stick to it. His message is not for our entertainment. It is not palatable or unoffensive. His words will not go down easy, as this was not a smooth ride for Jesus. While it is easier to look at our cultural representations and photoshopped images of Jesus, bloodless and suffering free, these pretty pictures we paint create more distance from the reality of his messy ministry. Walter Cortry says, a true-to-life picture of Jesus is not easily arrived at. What we see so many times is not Jesus as he was and is, but a composite picture of what men and women would have him to be. It is not important to know what Jesus looked like. The color of his eyes, the texture of his skin, the cut of his beard, the true length of his hair. His photograph, if there were such a thing, would prove nothing and save no one. Besides, Jesus doesn't clean up real nice. He does not obey social norms, cultural rules, or religious traditions. Ask his parents. He doesn't even leave when he's asked to and is not where they expect him to be. Jesus does things unscheduled and uncommon. His way is the one we least expect. Calvary's road is the one less traveled. He says what must be said and does what must be done. Nothing to lose, he calls it like he sees it, hypocrites, brood of vipers, and whitewashed tombs. Jesus didn't come to spare our feelings, but to save our souls. He is not a cookie-cutter savior who came to sweet-talk us into submission. His words are so searing that when he opened his mouth and the scriptures to the disciples on the way to Emmaus, they turned to each other and said, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us? Fire-breathing Savior, digesting the revelation of Jesus is not easy. These disciples testified that listening to Jesus causes heartburn. Jesus challenged the religious leaders of his day, whose empty traditions robbed faith of its meaning, who were personally benefiting from maintaining the status quo. He turned over tables, driving out the money changers to drive his point home. His ministry and our salvation are not for sale. His sacred space is not a place to set up shop. Jesus is divinity hands-on, leaving nothing to our poor and self-serving interpretations. He wants a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. In spite of our capitalistic norms, and unfortunate for Judas, who manages the money, Jesus doesn't want people who only know how to talk numbers. Jesus wants people who talk to him. Jesus spoke with authority as persons second-guessed him based on geography. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Jesus is not who his disciples thought he was. They were so shocked at his abilities that they asked each other, "What kind of man is this?" But strangers to themselves, getting to know Jesus also revealed who they were. The disciples had not raised their hands, but were chosen. Soon, one of them will bite the hand that feeds more than 5,000 in the earth's fellowship hall. Still, Jesus doesn't give up or give in to the temptation to take the easy way out. Likewise, during this Lenten season, we come with our hands up and in full surrender. We give up television or social media, chocolate or carbs. We are watching our words and our hands to ensure that we are faithful to our commitment. Getting closer to Jesus reveals more about ourselves, which is why so many of us keep our distance. But the good news is that Jesus is the friend of sinners. Jesus doesn't throw anyone away, keep anyone away, keep a safe distance from anyone, even when they seek to do him harm. Jesus, the good shepherd, is not satisfied with having almost all of his sheep. The gospel writer says that he will leave 99 to find one of us. He cannot do without us, can't stand to be apart from us, and wants none of us to be lost. Jesus simply doesn't have sheep to spare. Jesus teaches us that the world is not black and white, and we're all in this gray area, all following Jesus, yet possessing the propensity to fail him when walking with him gets difficult or dangerous.
For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up.
While this attacks our pride and deters us from the American way of following the money, it doesn't change the truth or the root cause of Jesus' visit. He came to save sinners. Chosen before the foundation of the world, his will goes a long way back. Last week, we saw a case study, a living example of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah's words to the children of Israel. He declared, "No weapon that is fashioned or formed against you shall prosper." 30 pieces of silver doesn't amount to much when you're selling out the Savior. Judas does not strike it rich, but he's convinced that it's enough to keep his cool as the plot thickens. It's a dinner party for Jesus at Lazarus's house. Lazarus is literally back from the dead and is at the table. It's Jesus's party, and he can invite who he wants to. Look at the guest list. All those present serve a purpose, and unbeknownst to them, they're all working together. Jesus' partnerships are interesting ones. We might be scratching our heads, but Jesus is shaking his head with satisfaction. Things are going according to his plans. Judas is preparing to betray him, and Mary is preparing his body for burial. A meal in his honor, it is a foreshadowing of the Last Supper. It is a mixture of those who have gathered to serve Jesus and those who have come to serve Jesus up on a platter. All are seated at the table, and no one can tell the difference. He knows their hearts and their motivations. Still, Jesus invites them to pull up a chair because all are doing his will. The perfume is a parting gift to Jesus. Judas is reaching into the purse for himself, and Mary is reaching out to Jesus. Judas is in it for himself, a cheater through and through. He will betray the trust of Jesus. But stealing all along, he is betraying those who have also given to the ministry. He's been practicing betrayal from the start and took the position to protect his interests. Mary's act is prophetic, preparing Jesus for a time to come, namely his death. She does not care how much it costs or how it makes her look. She anoints him with oil and uses her hair as a towel. Mary has no interest in a woman's place and does not consider gender roles. She uses so much that the scent fills the house. They are eating and drinking, breathing in the soon coming death of Jesus. Don't talk about Mary's hair. Wash the hands. Judas is criticizing Mary for doing the right thing because it infringes on his ability to do the wrong thing. Yeah. His concern about the budget is for his benefit only. He has ulterior motives. He is saying all this for all the wrong reasons. He doesn't care about the ministry or the Messiah. Judas is in it for the money. Mary is impacting his bottom line, and Judas is taking some off the top, and he doesn't want Mary's hands in the money. He wouldn't have approved of such an expense and sees it as a waste because it is of no use to him. Jesus hasn't even died yet, and they're already fighting over the money. Sound familiar? Don't listen to Judas's words. Wash the hands. Mary is anointing Jesus' feet, and Judas is plotting to stab him in the back. They're all at the party, all at the table, all walking with Jesus, who doesn't brush off Judas's criticism. John doesn't record anyone else coming to Mary's defense. Knowing where both of them were coming from, Jesus said to Judas, "Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Jesus tells Judas that he will not always be around. And he's not simply leaving town. This is a going away party. And Mary is preparing him for what Judas will have a hand in. An angel on one side and a devil on the other. Wash the hands of Jesus, who brings them both together in this story and in us.
For a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
Yeah.
And God. But we get up, we fall down, but we get up, we fall down, but we get up. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down and got.
From Lazarus's table to the Lord's table, I invite you to prepare to receive the broken body of Christ and his shed blood. This is his dinner party. And he invites who he wants to.
Prepare your hearts to receive from the Lord's table. Was betrayed.
and you alone, Lord, are worthy to be praised. We bless your name, God. We thank you, dear Lord God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for every answered prayer. And we thank you, Lord, for every blessing. Yes. Oh, hallelujah to you this morning, God. Oh, Lord, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for every angel that you've assigned to each and every last one of us to guard us, to protect us, to be with us 24 hours a day. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you touched us this morning with your finger of life, waking us up this morning, God, making us rise up in our right mind, having us to get out of bed this morning, God, and get on our way here, God, to your house, Lord, and be present, God, in this body. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. We bless your name, God. We glorify your name. We thank you, Lord, that you're the only sovereign God. We thank you, Lord, that you said that I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, that none comes before me and none comes after me. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. What a wonderful God you are. We know that we're undeserving of your love. But Lord God, as we prepare to celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, to celebrate his resurrection, oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. We bow down to you. We bow down to you, Lord. We know that we are unworthy, but we still bow down to you. We think, Lord, that we chose you. But Lord God, you remind us that you chose us. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We glorify your name for each and every person in this room, God. Those that are sick among us, God. Lord God, we lift them up to you on this day where we receive your body. Lord God, we know that according to your word that you said, by your stripes, every last one of our healed. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah to you, Lord. We lift this country up to you. Lord God, we lift the leaders of this country up to you. We lift the leaders of this church up to you. Oh, hallelujah to you, Lord. We thank you, God. We bless you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. We can't thank you enough for being our Father. Abba, Father, as we prepare, God, to receive your body. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. You are our hope. You are our hope. Lord God, as we rise up out of the ashes, Lord God, as we rise up out of the miry clay, we bless you, Lord God, like your Son rose up on the third day. We rise up too, every last one of us. Oh, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Most High God. We bless your name, God. As we prepare to receive your body, God, your body makes us holy. Your body makes us one. Yes. And we just bless your name. Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you.
manner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray together.
As we take this cup, we see your sacrifice poured out for us. Yes. We notice the depth of your goodness, yes, and the pain that you suffered for us.
Yes.
We dwell upon the intricacy of human life,
yes,
and the price that you paid to set humanity free.
Yes.
Yet just as the tombstone rolled away from to unleash the risen Lord,
yes,
your light shines in our hearts now,
yes,
extinguishing all darkness.